Bless you. Well, the call is being recorded now, so I'm going to turn it over to our host, and I think that is Dr. Vanessa.
No, it is Tiffany today.
I'll turn it over to Tiffany.
Okay, okay. Good morning, Minister Willis. Thank you so much for greeting us this morning on the Master's Call. And you said today is, we already know, is Wednesday, but we're waiting with expectation Wednesday here on the Master's Call. And the scripture reference that she gave us was in Isaiah 40. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. What a word from the Lord this morning. So we thank you, Minister Willa, for greeting us. And we welcome each of you, the TMC family, to the Master's Call on this Wednesday. God bless each of you, and we welcome you with the warmest of kingdom greetings. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be thankful, and we're going to rejoice in it. See, no matter what we are going through, no matter what circumstances and problems come our way, we're going to wait on the Lord and know that as our strength is built and renewed, that we are going to do, we are going to run, and we are going to keep on pressing towards the mark of the Most High calling, which is in Jesus Christ. So we bless each one of you, and we thank you for joining us on the call today. See, the Master's Call started back over a year ago on October the 25th, 2010, by our founders, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. And see, I thank God for those mighty women of God who said yes to the vision that God had given us. So because of their yes, we're able to tap into this call every Monday through Friday here on the Master's Call. And see, the vision that God gave them was to bring out a call that was truly all about the Master. So we thank God for giving them the vision, and the scripture that was given to them can be found in Psalms 88:13, which reads, "But to thee I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." And the mission statement for this call is that when you call into this line every day, that your lives as believers of Jesus Christ are enriched, empowered, and enhanced. As you are a believer and you go out into the world and be a witness to others, that light will truly shine in you. So we bless God for each of you here on the Master's Call. See, the Master's Call is a great place to be in the morning. There's so many times that so many of us are going through things, and, you know, sometimes we don't know what to do. But when you're able to call into this line and be lifted and be shifted, and you know, and there's so many gifted ministers on this line that bring messages that are right on time from the Lord, then our days go in such a spectacular and wonderful way. So once again, we bless each one of you for joining us on the Master's Call. I hope you have your pen and your pencils and you're ready. Send out a Facebook text. Send out a text with your cell phone. Invite someone else to join us on the Master's Call. And see, the vehicle that brought us all together is none other than Artist International. Artist International is a Christian-based health and wellness company founded by the D.S. De Leon family over 20-something years ago. And see, we are able to tap into the vision that the D.S. De Leon family was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are all able to tap in, and our lives have truly been changed by the products, not just by the finances, but truly some of our lives have been changed by the finances that we have been able to acquire through Artist International and the absolutely phenomenal products line that we have there. And I say, if you are an artist distributor on this line today, take advantage of the buy two, get one free promotion that is going on from now until the 25th. So make sure that you get your Lviv and, you know, your Artist Multi Plus during the cold season so that you stay well and that your immune system stays intact. If you're not an artist distributor on this line and you're wondering what am I talking about, then I invite you to go to the person who invited you to this call and truly ask them, what is Artist International all about? That your lives will be blessed as we are changing lives all around the world. So at this time, I'm going to ask my sister, Minister Willa, if she would come back to the line right now and open us up in a word of prayer. Minister Willa, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Tiffany?
Just a little bit louder, my sister.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you very much.
Praise God. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, Father, we thank and praise you this morning. We thank and praise you, Lord, on this Waiting with Expectation Wednesday for renewing our strength. We thank you, Lord, for in the wait, you are building endurance. You are building faithfulness and character and faith. Father God, in the wait, you are getting us in a position for your perfect will. You are building love. Cause us to wait on you, O Lord, for it is for your perfect desire, for your perfect will in our lives. Father, you told us in your word that obedience is better than sacrifice. So in the wait, we're expecting a harvest blessing. We are expecting you to show up, oh God, and do what only you can do. We are expecting burdens to be removed, mountains to be removed. We're expecting joy and strength and healing and financial blessings, oh God. We're expecting relationships to be restored, oh Lord. So, Lord, like Kathy Washington said, Minister Washington said yesterday, and as we are in the middle of it, Lord, we wait on you, because when we wait on you, you told us, oh God, that when we wait on you, that you will renew our strength. When we wait on you not to get weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we don't faint. So, Father God, we just thank you that as we wait, we give you praise. We come to you this morning asking you to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank and praise you for the purpose of this call, oh Lord. First of all, for the Diaz de Leon family, for their faithfulness, and, Father, as they wait on you, just do what only you can do in their lives. Father, we thank and praise you for Dr. Vanessa and Dr. P.K. Roberts, oh Lord. And as they wait on you, oh Lord, renew their strength, order their footsteps, give them a double portion of your love. Father, as for each and every prayer partner and each and every person on the line this morning, as we hear the word, oh Lord, from your faithful messenger of God, as we wait on you, oh God, that a mighty work will be done in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the speaker today. We ask, oh God, that you will continue to increase him, Lord, and enlarge his territory. Father, that you bless his family, that you bless his congregation, oh God, and as he waits on you, that you do only what you can do in his life, in Jesus' name. Father, now we bind the airways. Any diabolical attack that tries to come against it, oh God, we know that you have already sent your power, sent your strength, sent your mighty force of angels to clear the airways, oh Lord, so that this call goes forth without any interruption, without any hindrance, Lord. And we thank you. And we thank you for this occasion that we celebrate. We don't need a Thanksgiving Day to thank you. We just thank you anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back to you, Minister Tiffany.
Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Minister Willa, for setting the floor and clearing the airways and clearing the heavens for the word to go forth this morning. As we are waiting for the message, we are waiting on the Lord. So God bless you, my sister, and thank you. So now it is that time. It's time to hear what thus says the word of the Lord. And it's that speaker that we hear every Wednesday here on the Master's Call who has been faithful to this call since the very beginning. He is none other than Pastor Charles Chuck Brown II. He pastored Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center in Louisiana. He is the author of The Death of the Desperate Woman, a book that is providing scores of women healing and inspiration. Pastor Chuck is married to Lady Marcia Norris Brown. They are the proud parents of Charles III and Christina Eve. Pastor Chuck is also a producer, songwriter, and a gospel artist. He is a full-time pastor, and he is currently in the studio with his group Chuck Maestro and Yielded Vessels and are currently working on their latest project, Crossing Over. So it is a privilege, an honor, and a pleasure to bring to you. And the next voice that you would hear is none other than Pastor Chuck Brown at this time. Pastor Chuck, are you on the line this morning?
I am. Good morning to you, Sister Tiff.
Good morning. Good morning.
Amen. You and Minister Will, I tell you, y'all are doing such a great job. That prayer touched me and just really blessed me, as she has always does. Love you all so very much. Good morning to everyone on the call. Pastor Vanessa, Dr. PK, we bless the Lord for you and your vision for this ministry that goes forth 5 days a week. Bless the Lord for each and every one of you. I was all week pondering, Lord, what this is the week of Thanksgiving. What should I share? What should I minister? I don't take this lightly. I don't just pick arbitrarily a sermon and say, okay, well, let's just do this one. I always seek the Lord as to what should I minister on this line, because the people of God deserve God's best, and they deserve to hear what God wants to say. And there are times when, you know, there are seasonal messages that may correspond with the holiday. But then there are other times God says, like Minister Willis said, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And so just because tomorrow is that special holiday does not mean that it's something that we should do that's out of the ordinary. Every saint of God should be someone who's thankful and a praiser, and we're grateful for what God has done. But the Lord gave me something that's kind of in a different direction, but I believe it's for each and every one of us. I want to go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob made a special gift for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They could not say a kind word to him. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said, and he goes on to describe the dream. Verse 8, his brothers responded, "So do you think you'll be our king? Do you do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told it to his brothers. And then the next verses he describes the dream. Verse 11, finally, but while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. His father wondered what the dreams meant. There are two characters that I take special, have a special connection with. Everyone, I believe, has that character in the Word of God who you really connect with. And there are two who I just connect with because I think that our lives parallel each other. The first one is David, King of Israel, the father of who I call him the father of praise and worship. I connect with David in a deep way. And the other is Joseph, because every person who's a visionary, every person who's a dreamer, every person who has prophetic vision for their future, we all can relate to someone who has to go through so much to see God's word is going to still come to pass. And the Lord just shared this with me, and I want to give this to you. God gave this vision to me. That's what I want to minister this morning. God gave this vision to me. I want to speak to the visionary in you. I want to speak to the dreamer in you. God gave this vision to me. In all of our lives, there are two things that we must discover. Those are the vision for our life and the purpose for which we are alive. Your life takes on new meaning when you discover purpose and vision. A lot of people use these terms interchangeably, but that, I believe, is a mistake because they're not interchangeable. Neither can you lead a full life if either of them are not manifested in your life. I want to share about purpose, and then I'm going to discuss vision. The age-old question in life is, what am I put on earth for? What do I want to be? What should I do with my life? And usually what happens when these questions arise is that we make the mistake of asking these questions to ourselves, but you can't find the answer within yourself. Your life's purpose cannot be determined by you. It can't be determined through counseling. It can't be determined by a book. If you did not create yourself, how can you say why you were created? Only the creator of a creation can say for what purpose the instrument or tool was created. Only the person who created the hammer can say what he intended for it to do. So when we see people who use hammers to prop doors open or use as paperweight, base to keep paper from flying or so many other uses, that hammer is never really fulfilled because in order for it to actually accomplish its purpose, it has to bang nails into wood. It may be used as a destroyer to break things up, but it feels complete when it accomplishes its purpose to build up and to create. And when it sees us using everything else for its purpose, it becomes for its purpose, but it becomes sad, depressed, and unfulfilled. We use so many things, wrenches, pipes, shoes, in the same way we should use a hammer, but the wrench is never completely satisfied unless it's gripping something or tightening or loosening something. The shoe will never achieve its true purpose unless it's protecting the foot from the harsh elements. A fish would never be happy living on land because it was made for water. An eagle could never feel satisfied because it was made to soar. You will never be completely satisfied until you begin walking in your purpose. And the greatest moment in your life, first of all, it's when you accept Christ into your life. But second, the greatest moment is the day God reveals his purpose in your life. He created you, and he alone knows why. He's the only one that can tell you why you were created. If he made you to serve, then you're never satisfied unless you're serving others. If your purpose is to be a blessing as a giver, then you don't feel complete unless you're seeding into someone's life. Other people can't understand it, but it's not their purpose. It's what God intended for you to be. And there are many men and women who were created to be husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. And that's why they're not satisfied, being single, is because they know that they were created for something better. Listen, we often quote the beginning of Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good, but we leave out the rest of the verse. It says, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's not just saying that everything will work out for good in your life, but it works out for your good only when you're walking according to his purpose for your life. If you're not walking according to God's purpose for your life, then some things might work together for your bad. God is not responsible for your life if you're not living your God-given purpose. Let me say that one again. God is not responsible for your life if you're not living your God-given purpose. Your purpose provides direction. If you're not walking in his purpose, then I can't tell you how your situation will end up. Let me give you an example. I'm going to move hastily. If two people purpose to travel to Atlanta from New Orleans, where I reside, but one decides to take I-10 West while the other takes I-10 East, I don't care how good their intentions are. Their outcome will be different. Both of them can be faithful and committed to driving. Both of them can stay focused and drive the same amount of time daily. Both of them could confess, I'm going to Atlanta. Both of them will go through storms along their journey, but at the end, one will arrive in Atlanta while the other will end up in California. Why? Because one of them did not have proper direction. They did not have their proper purpose. And many of us are like the driver that ends up in California. We are faithful to God. We give, we tithe, we pray without ceasing, we confess the right things, but yet we end up somewhere we did not think we would. Why? It's because we did not discover our God-given purpose. Our purpose is usually revealed through the visions that God gives to us. If God shows you certain things, and I'm trying to show you that through your dreams, a lot of times we can get the purpose. Martin Luther King, Albert Einstein, Michael Jordan, Bishop Mason, our purpose and our vision then must line up with each other. Actually, God has given all of us purpose or direction through vision. Watch this. He gives us a glimpse of our future, a vision of things that can come in our lives, a peek of where we will end up in our lives. But I've recently discovered that despite God giving us vision, we don't all open our eyes and see what he has for us. Some people are just content with living and surviving, so they go through life aimlessly, hoping and wishing that something good would happen to them. They go to church week after week, month after month, year after year, declaring it's their time, it's my year, this is my season, but they lack vision for their lives. Even a farmer who wants a harvest must have vision for what he wants to reap, and then his life lines up with bringing that particular crop to pass. Now, let me get straight to what God has for us. This, in this particular story, it starts off with hateration going on. Joseph had a special relationship with his father. He sought to be close to his father. He talked to his father all the time. He did not only what was required of him, but he went the extra mile. And as a result, his brothers were jealous of him and could not speak peaceably to him. This brings to light a serious point, because they could have experienced the same type of relationship that Joseph shared with his father, but they chose not to. And then they got mad because Joseph was shown more favor. Listen, don't get mad with me because I spend more time with God than you. Don't get mad with me that because I don't do what's required of me as a Christian, but I go the extra mile. Don't get mad at me because you see the hand of God on my life. You can experience the same fellowship. You can share the same close relationship I have with the Father. I'm close with them because I spend time with them. But the latter part of the verse that we read earlier shares the same exact sentiments of most Christians who have a substandard relationship with God. They get mad with the person who was shown favor. They are upset with the individual upon whom God's hand is on. But let me speak a word of warning to all of you who dare to speak against the anointed of God. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Listen, don't you dare touch the anointed with your mouth. You wonder why your personal life is a wreck? Let's see if you're one of the ones who always has something negative to say about the anointed of God. And I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking to pastors too. We cannot put our mouth on anyone who is anointed. There's a woman who just comes to church. She's not involved in anything, but she's anointed. You better keep your mouth off of her. So after Joseph is met with resentment, God shows him a vision. The Bible calls it a dream, but so I'm going to use these words interchangeably. Joseph sees what God has in store for him, and he's been given a vision. But when he shares his dream with his brothers, they respond. You think you're going to have dominion over us? They doubted what God gave to Joseph. Here's number one. You don't have to believe in my dreams. You don't have to believe them. You don't have to believe in my dreams. Because God gave me a dream does not, you know, because God gives me a dream, it doesn't matter what you think of it because it was made for me. You don't have to understand it, nor do you have to be in agreement with it because it was made for me. The only thing that has to be there is my belief in my dreams. Whether or not you believe in it does not matter, but I must believe in my dream. My father always says this, God gives one man the vision. He gives others a vision to work the vision. Anything else is the vision. Think about it. God called Abraham and told him to go. Just go. Don't worry about where you're going. Just pack up and go. God showed Abraham a vision for his life, and he said, look, I'm going to make of you a great nation, bless you, give you a great name. Now, if God had told Abraham's wife and his nephew Lot and others to do the same thing that he told Abraham, there would have been a lot of confusion. Now, wait just 1 minute, Abraham. I know God told us to go, but we got to wait on confirmation. That you know how y'all do. That don't agree with my spirit. Abraham went not knowing where he was going in spite of what others thought. He followed God's vision. He followed God's purpose. And when he did so, God blessed his life. The Bible says that after Joseph told his brothers a dream, they hated him the more. The very people who you expect to support you, those individuals who you think will rejoice with you, those family members who you believe will give you an encouraging pat on the back are the very ones who will turn around and hate you for sharing with them the vision that God gave to you. People who have no goals in their lives ridicule those who do. People who never aspire for greatness try to discourage those who are trying. People who lack vision for their own lives try to minimize or demean the vision of the people who do. But always remember that they don't have to believe in your dreams for them to come to pass. Here's the second thing. Here's point number two. The traps you set for me only serve to bring me closer to fulfilling my dreams. The traps you set for me only serve to bring me closer to fulfilling my dreams. There are people in your life, in our lives, who are so upset about you going places in God, so upset about you climbing up the corporate ladder, so upset about you getting married, so upset about you going to school, so they set traps for you. His brother said, later on in the chapter, he said, let's kill him and cast him into a pit, and we're going to see what's going to happen to his dreams. You know people like that, people who are constantly trying to find fault in what you do. People, because you have the vision to provide for your children with a better life than you had, they say you're trying to be uppity. Because you have the vision to be promoted and work towards the end, they say call you a brown noser just to go higher. Then they lie on you or try to sabotage your chance of promotion. There are people who hate you for wanting to grow higher in the Lord, and they will call you deep or say, you know, you're just trying to get in good with the pastor, trying to get in his ears and stir up mess. But what they don't realize is when you do these things, you are only putting me in a position to be able to fulfill what God has called me to do. Understand that God is never taken by surprise. He sees the traps that lie ahead of us, and sometimes he lets us avoid them, and other times he lets us fall into them, but it's always bringing us closer into what we vision. Now look, in verse 22, I don't have time to read it, it talks about how Reuben, Joseph's brother, says, hey, no, let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit. I want you to be careful of the Reubens in your life. There are people who don't want to see you fail, but they don't necessarily want you to succeed either. They don't start fires, but they don't try to put them out either. They don't start the rumors, but then again, they don't stop them. They don't mind you going up as long as you're not going above them. They don't stop the promotions, but they don't put in good words either. Reubens don't try to kill you, but they will try to hinder your progress. You got to be careful of Reubens. Here's number three. Let this bless you. If what I see now is not in line with what God showed me, then it's not over for me. If what I see now is not in line with what God showed me, then it is not over for me. Now, when God shows us something, he only shows us the end result. He doesn't show us the whole picture. He doesn't give us a play-by-play report of how the vision will be fulfilled. If God ever did that, it would scare us and discourage us from fulfilling what we were called to do. So just because what you see, but just because you don't see the end result right now, does not mean that my dream won't come to pass. All God showed Joseph was the end result. That is, that he would rise above his father and his brothers, and they would pay homage to him. God didn't show him the pit. God didn't show him being made a slave. God didn't show him being set up by Potiphar's wife. God didn't show him being thrown into prison. All God showed him was the end result. God only shows us where we're going to end up. He doesn't show us the foreclosures or the poverty or the debt. He doesn't show us the divorce and the repossessions and the stress. He doesn't show us the frustrations, the hurt, the pain. He gives us a glimpse of where we're going to end up, but never what all it will take to get there. God doesn't do it because he doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to avoid fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and if he knows that if he shows us everything, we'd be scared to withstand. The other thing is God doesn't want us to be discouraged. Humans are frail, and we can't handle knowing that adversity is on its way. We'd look at some of the stuff we were going to go through and ask ourselves, is this vision worth it? So while Joseph was in the pit, I can imagine him looking around and saying, this is not what God showed me, so it's not the end. When he got to Potiphar's house, he looked around and said, this is not what God showed me, so it's not the end. He looked around at the prison and said, this is not what God showed me, so it cannot be the end. He looked at his place in Pharaoh's palace and said, this is not what God showed me, so it's not in the end. It cannot be the end. When the bank comes to repossess your car and you have to ride with everybody and deal with their attitudes and deal with them making you late for everything, look around and say, this is not what God showed me, so it cannot be the end. I'm bringing this to a close right here. Here's my last point. Whether you support my dreams doesn't matter, because God gave this vision to me. Whether you support my dreams don't matter, does not matter, because God gave this vision to me. If God said something, no matter what opposition comes up against me, it will come to pass. Habakkuk 2 and 3, help me, Lord Jesus, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. When God gives you a vision, he already knows when it's going to come to pass. It's for an appointed time. I have an appointment with manifestation. That's why I can't be weary in well-doing, for in due season I'm going to reap if I don't faint. I'm waiting for that season called due. I'm waiting for my harvest to come forth. I'm waiting on that call. I'm waiting for that promotion. I'm waiting for that contract. I'm waiting for the Lord to bring to pass his word. I didn't say it. God said it. And if God says it, then he's responsible for making sure that it happens. So while I'm waiting, I'm not weary. While I'm waiting, I'm not giving up. While I'm waiting, I'm not allowing discouragement to kick in. While I'm waiting, I'm not allowing doubt to settle in my mind. I'm waiting on God, and the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. What am I waiting for? Well, I'm waiting on my reality to catch up with the Lord's word. See, what I see now is my reality. But what God showed me, hallelujah, is in his word. The things that I see now are only temporary. The hindrances blessing blocking me now are only temporary. God said I shall be blessed going in and blessed coming out. So when I'm experiencing lack, that's not, that reality is not really my reality. I'm just waiting on my reality to catch up with God's word. God said, I'll be the head and not the tail. scale. So when I feel like everybody's passing me up, when I feel like everybody's advancing but me, that's not what God showed me. So I'm waiting for my reality to catch up with God's word. God, when you said I'm healed by your stripes, so when I feel pain and discomfort, that's not my reality. I'm just waiting on my reality to catch up with God's word. God gave me this vision, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't hate me for my dream. Don't hate me because I'm getting prophecy after prophecy. Don't get mad at me because I'm working towards my vision. God gave it to me, and there's absolutely nothing anyone can do about it. God bless you. I pray that this word has blessed you, touched you in some way. I love you with the love of the Lord. Have the very best day of your life.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, my soul is on fire this morning. Pastor Chuck, thank you so much for that on-time word of God. How awesome is that? God gave this vision to me, his title. God gave this vision to me. And the 4 points that he said, you do not have to believe in my dreams, number one. Number two, the traps you set for me only set me closer to fulfilling my dreams. Three, if what I see now is not in line with what God shows me, then it is not over for me. Hallelujah. And the last point he said, whether you support my dreams doesn't matter, because God gave this dream and vision to me. Wow, what a powerful, powerful, powerful message from the Master this morning here on the Master's Call. And I'm telling you, that just, I can't even say nothing, but let me call my sister, Minister Robin, to the phone and ask her to close us out in prayer. Minister Robin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Minister Tiffany?
Loud and clear, my sister. Go ahead.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that powerful word, Pastor Chuck. And we're going to give thanks to God in everything. He's the one that gave us the dream. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for every circumstance because we know, Lord God, that in everything we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord God, for the walk of children, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one, Father God, who knows the plan that you have for them, Father, and it's a plan that is good. It's a plan with a future. It's a plan with an expected end, Lord God. So we say thanks be to God because you are the one who will give Risha and their mom the victory through Lord Jesus. Father God, we say thank you because of your son, Jesus. Lord God, just like Minister Willis said, we thank you every day, not just because of Thanksgiving, but every day because you are the one who has blessed us with this indescribable gift. Father God, we thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord God, for peace and homes, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that we are above, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because we qualify to share in your inheritance. Hallelujah. We are your saints, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for the man of God. We thank you for imparting in him, Father God, so that he can just fill himself. We thank you, Lord, for filling him up, Lord God, so he can impart to us, Father God. So we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, as we go forward this day, Father, we will thank you. We have gratitude in our heart, Father God. We know, Lord God, that you're the one who gave us the dream and the vision, Father. You're the one who gave us the purpose, Lord, and we're going to seek you to ensure that we carry it out victoriously according to your plan and your purpose for our life in the name of Jesus. Back to you, Minister Tiffany.
Thank you, Minister Robin, for sealing that word and sealing this call with the word of prayer. And I want to say if you missed any part of this message today, then I invite you to call back in about 20 to 30 minutes at 712-432-1085 and use the same PIN code. Also visit our website, www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com, and our email address, themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. To you, Minister Willa, thank you for greeting us and setting us up for what thus said the Lord this morning and for opening the call up in prayer. To you, Pastor Chuck, thank you, thank you, thank you. And to you, Minister Robin, thank you for closing the call out. For each of you, for your faithfulness and for your yes, we bless God for each of you. To the founders of this call, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa, we thank God for you, mighty women of God, and we ask God to continue to do great things in your life. To each of you, the Master Call listeners, God bless you. God bless you. We hope that your lives have been enriched, empowered, and enhanced on this day. Know that tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and we will be meeting here again on the Master's Call. So go out and be a witness today. Submit, obey, and accept the call of the Master to be that great minister in the marketplace. Walk in purpose, walk in vision, and have a blessed day. We love you. Goodbye for now.